Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by the 2024 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. Tournament week for the 2024 AmFam Championship kicks off June 1st with UW Carbone's Race for Research 5K run at the Thomas Zimmer Cross Country Course at University Ridge. That's followed by tournament play June 7th through the 9th at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. The multi-Grammy Award-winning band Train will headline the annual Friday night concert at Bree Stevens Field on June 7th. Tickets for the concert and the tournament are now on sale at AmFamChampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Champ has raised over $17 million for charity in the Madison and Wisconsin areas, with proceeds distributed by the C. Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. Along with Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here, and Gary D., I don't know, I think I'm battling a little bit of allergies. That means we're getting into
Sounds like it.
If we're getting weather warm enough to kind of get the stuff in the air going, and clearly we are nearing that AmFam Championship. We'll talk about its impact on a certain golfer's schedule in a minute, but as you had in Sweet Spot this morning, we've got some breaking news from the AmFam Championship. We've added another act to the Friday night concert. Chris Stone, Kingfish Ingram will be opening for Train. Now, you weren't aware of many Train songs last week. I'm not aware of many Kingfish songs, but the guy's a Grammy Award-winning artist as well. I'm reading here. He won the Grammy in 2022 for Best Contemporary Blues Album. For the album 662 at the 64th Annual Grammy Awards. So this guy is good at what he does, and if you're into blues, I guess this is the guy to go get there early and see Kingfish at Bree Stevens Field.
Sounds like he's got some bona fide. Yeah, Rob, I'm in your camp. I didn't know anything about Kingfish, but, you know, they knock it out of the park with their entertainment at the AmFam on that Friday night concert at Bree. Have you ever been to the concert at Bree Stevens, Rob?
I have not. I kicked myself now for not going when Toby Keith was there.
Yeah.
Since we lost him here in the last year. Because I'm a big Toby Keith fan, big country music fan. And you're right. I mean, it's kind of cool. They have brought in a lot of different acts in terms of different music genres and have appealed to a lot of people, and I think it's pretty cool. It's not easy to bring in acts.
No.
You know, we were driving through Palm Springs over the weekend, and a lot of the casinos there that relied on, you know, I guess what we would call the artists from our, you know, from back in the day, the 50s and 60s, you know, guys like Chubby Checker and Chuck Berry and, you know, all these rock and rollers that, you know, after they kind of had their 15 minutes at the top of the marquee, seem to be very glad to play the smaller venues, and now they're getting a lot of the tribute band versions of those guys and gals, and because we just don't have them, you know, with us anymore. And I don't know if today's generation of music can penetrate to all, you know, demographics, old, young, you know, male, female, that kind of thing. Clearly, we've got some award-winning artists coming to town this year for the Friday night concert. And by all accounts, I mean, if Steve had to go out of his way to miss it because it's so much fun and then win the championship last year, you know that it's a good time.
Yeah, Steve's gone to several of the Friday night concerts, and he jokingly says he had a little too much fun one year and it kind of affected him on the golf course. So last year, he probably really wanted to go badly, but he was disciplined, stayed home, and won the tournament. I think a couple of years ago they had REO Speedwagon, right? And REO Speedwagon's lead singer, Kevin Cronin, is the first cousin of a buddy of ours, Barry Cronin. I don't know if you knew that, Rob.
I heard there was some familiar yeah. Tree stuff going on there, but I did not know that it was a first cousin. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Barry said they'd be all playing basketball and football growing up, and Kevin would be in the garage playing his guitar. I guess it paid off.
Yeah, indeed it did. I mean, and that was, again, another one that, I mean, the REO was, you know, when I graduated in the early 80s from high school, I mean, our dances were full of REO Speedwagon songs.
Oh, yeah. They were big.
No, that's fun. They're still working on the celebrity foursome. I heard an interview with Nate Pocrast this week that, you know, it's one day out of the year. It's hard to get everybody, you know, on the same, you know, to get everybody to come on that day at that time. So, you know, that again, like the concert, they've always hit home runs with who they brought in, and your ability to get up close to a lot of legends, you know, whether it's Derek Jeter, whether it's Phelps,
Darius Rucker.
Darius Rucker.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brett Favre. I mean, you know, when can you get that close to Brett Favre? And, you know, he was there, what, you know, six of the first 7 years. And, and that's pretty special. And of course, Andy North. I mean, I think, you know, we need to, you know, cherish, Andy and the fact that he is still swinging a golf club in front of people at his age, you know, with his, you know, again, he's a living legend in every sense of the word. And, and I think it's pretty cool that, you know, that we're able to see him every year. So that part, they're still working on the details, of the field. We can assume that Jerry Kelly, two-time champion, Mario Tiziani, who played pretty well last weekend at the Regents Tradition, and Steve Stricker, who also played very well at the Regents Tradition, will be there. But as we found out over the weekend, nothing is given in the game of golf. I think both you and I were caught off guard a little bit when it was announced that Steve Stricker, after qualifying to play in the PGA Championship, has withdrawn from that major on the regular tour. He qualified by winning the senior PGA last year down in Frisco, Texas. And, you know, it just the reason given, it looked as though that Doug Ferguson might have texted him overnight, Gary, and again, I think fatigue was used, you know, not playing, didn't want to play four times in 5 weeks. I heard Dennis Tiziani on the radio show in Madison, you know, speak about, you know, his, you know, while Steve can still hit it out there, just the mental fatigue of trying, you know, knowing you're going to have to do that for four rounds. You had a piece on our site today, you know, quoting Curtis Strange and Andy North as saying that they thought Steve could make the cut, which is great at his age. You know, what a feather cap. But that's four rounds of golf on a very long golf course in the middle of some very important tournaments on the PGA Tour Champions.
Yeah, I was a little surprised only because that he withdrew, only because last week when we talked to him at Media Day for the AmFam Championship, he seemed genuinely fired up about this stretch. He called it a big stretch of golf, and he was excited to go play, and he talked about, you know, the three majors in a row. But, you know, I'm sure as he thought about it, you know, he had to try to defend in the Regents Tradition, which he was unsuccessful, but came very close, you know, finishing tied for third. And then he's got to try to defend in the Senior PGA Championship the week after the PGA. And then, you know, pretty quick after that, 2 weeks after that, comes his title defense in Madison. So that is a lot of high pressure, high volume golf. And I'm sure as he thought about it, he thought, wait a second, you know, I'm 57 years old. I've got to go down to Valhalla, which is a 7,700 yard course. And it looks like it's going to be wet. It's supposed to rain a couple days in a row here. So all of a sudden it becomes, you know, there's no roll and he's hitting five woods and hybrids into par fours. I guess he probably just figured just too much golf, Rob.
Yeah. And again, we've not necessarily taken Steve Stricker for granted all these years, but certainly last year, I mean, he made it look effortless. And at the end of the day, you know, the guy is still a human being. He's still a guy that, you know, has spent a lifetime performing in front of people. And, you know, that has its ups and downs, and I'm sure good days and bad. He has, he's a parent of two golfers and the husband to another. And, the two that he's the parent to, we'll talk about in a little bit. They were in action, today at the U.S. Women's Open local or the final qualifying down in Illinois. They've got a lot of important golf in the context of their life coming up too, which isn't something that necessarily appears on, you know, our schedules for Steve Stricker. I went through at the start of the year, Gary, and tried to figure out where he might play and where he wouldn't based on this, you know, potential for a heavy load based on winning the college companies championship last year, got to play in the Players Championship, winning the senior PGA, got to play in the, and gets to play or until he withdrew in the PGA Championship, came within a spot of winning the U.S. Senior Open, which would have gotten him into the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. So, you know, if that had come to fruition, you know, then you're talking about another tournament in and around the AmFam Championship, but what, a week after. I mean, it's just, it's crazy how much golf now is sandwiched in between the Masters and the Open Championship, April, May, June, and July. And when you're like Steve Stricker, Padraig Harrington, I mean, you could play, you know, you could play every week in that stretch in a very, very important tournament, at least to those two tours.
You're right, Rob. And I think, you know, Steve understands his body and understands his schedule as, you know, as good as anyone. And, you know, I think it's just too much golf in a compressed time frame. And the other thing, part of the equation, is he doesn't really get away from golf very often, which is why he so much cherishes and values his time up north hunting and fishing, because he plays with his family, you know, many days when he's not, we don't see him in tournaments, he's still playing. He's playing with Bobby and Izzy and Nikki. And that's, you know, so he doesn't get away from the game probably a lot. And I'm sure he just needed to decompress for this this next week.
I heard Dennis on his show say that Steve was on his lawnmower today. So, you know, the simple things in life sometimes bring you the greatest pleasures. And it's nice to see. I hope he, you know, was able to use this week to his advantage. And then we'll see him out, Benton Harbor, Michigan this year for the Senior PGA Championship, as it alternates every other year between Benton Harbor and another location. And so, you know, fans around here, it's a short drive around the lake or a ferry ride from Milwaukee, I guess, and up from Ludington. But you can get to the Senior PGA. So he'll be the center of attention next week.
He will be. And that's another thing. He's been the center of attention a lot the last couple of years. And that's something you also, knowing, you know, Steve, you know, very private. He doesn't like a lot of fuss made over him. And a lot of fuss was made over him last year and continues to be made over him. And sometimes I think you just have to get away from that part of it too.
Yeah. In fact, a couple weeks ago when he withdrew from the Insperity Invitational, you know, again, I think he had committed to a lot of things early and wanted to see how the body and the game was reacting. And it's just not where it was a year ago. So I can see wanting to make sure that for this, you know, back half of the season, you're at your best. But Doug Milne, the PGA Tour Champions media rep, you know, messaged me that, you know, he would be in the they would bring him into the room, you know, before the tournament. I go, oh my gosh. I mean, it is Tiger-esque. It's Rory-esque. I mean, you know, you're seeing Steve's face every week now on the PGA Tour Champions, and that can be a lot. And especially for a guy who tends to be a little bit private, you know, when he doesn't have to be in front of the media.
Yeah. You know, he's been in the public quite a bit lately with his induction at the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame. And about 10 days before that, honored as the GWAA Senior Player of the Year. And he's been front and center a lot. And I'm sure he's, like you said, he's, like Dennis said, he's on his mower today. He's probably just doing everything he can to get away from the fuss that's been made over him and sort of recalibrate his game a little bit. You know, he's changed equipment a couple times this year. Driver cracked. He's got a new driver in the bag. There's a lot going on with Steve, and I'm sure he's valuing this week away. And hopefully we see him really refreshed and ready to go next week.
He, with his T3 finish down in Birmingham, Alabama, by the way, he also played with Nick Saban in the Pro-Am. Steve jumped up 9 spots to 8 in the Charles Schwab Cup standings. So, and Jerry Kelly fell 1 spot from 10 to 11. So we still have someone in that top 10, Gary, for our conversation last week. Mario Tiziani, who matched Jerry Kelly with a T18 finish, moved from 54th in the Schwab Cup standings to 47th. Some pretty consistent play out of Mario, and expect to see him in that Senior PGA field, expanded field next week, over there in Benton Harbor. We should also mention that while Steve Stricker will not be at Valhalla Golf Club, our own Gary D'Amato will, at least for a few days. Gary, we still have a major championship to play, even though Steve won't be part of the storyline. I think the storylines going into this major championship, pretty interesting. You've got Scottie Scheffler, who had a son born on May 8th, is returning to competition for the first time as a father. And Rory McIlroy, who's been through that drill, won a team event a couple weeks ago down in New Orleans with Shane Lowry. And he won on his own ball and convincingly last week at an elevated event at the Quail Hollow Championship. Those two guys going head-to-head would be great, but, you know, Xander Schauffele came pretty darn close to winning last week. We know he's knocking on the door. Colin Morikawa had a good start to the Quail Hollow event, but faded a little bit. There's a lot of guys who could win this PGA Championship, but I think right now you divide the betting line between Scheffler and McIlroy.
I would agree with you, Rob, but I would have one name and make it a three-way betting line. Brooks Koepka just won on LIV.
Okay.
He's a defending champion. He's won a couple PGAs, three PGAs, and he definitely rises to the occasion in these tournaments. So I would lump him in there with Scotty and Rory, and I would pick those three, and you can have the field, or anyone can have the field, because I think one of those three is going to win.
All right, we'll see next week on Talking.Golf whether the field wins or whether Gary D'Amato wins with his win place or show, guys. And what do you expect out of Valhalla? That was the Tiger Woods Bob May playoff was there. Wasn't the Kenny Perry Mark Brooks playoff? I mean, it's produced some pretty good golf over the years.
It has. It's a big golf course, which is another reason why Steve probably withdrew. It's really long, and as I mentioned earlier in our podcast, it's going to be wet. But I was at the 2014 PGA, Rob, where Rory won in the dark. In fact, I think if memory serves, I believe Rory and who I forget his playing partner, but Phil Mickelson was playing in front of them, and they actually joined up and played together as a foursome coming down the stretch because daylight was fading fast. They finished in the dark, really. I mean, you could barely see anything. And I think they played as a foursome down that last hole just so they could finish. Exciting finish for Rory. And by the way, that's the last major that he won, I believe, Rob. So it's been 10 years.
Wow, that is something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he yeah.
Won by a shot over Mickelson. Fowler and Stenson, T3. Furyk and Ryan Palmer round up top five. Steve Stricker did finish T7. But again, that was, is that really 14 years ago? No.
It was 2014.
10 years ago.
10, yeah.
10 years ago. It was 14 years ago that Rory first won the event in North Carolina, the Quail Hollow. And he looked like about a 10-year-old doing it. So much has changed in the world of golf since 2014. And I think that'll be part of the storyline too here this week. But how exciting would it be to see, you know, again, we talked about it at the Masters, the LIV, you know, PGA Tour component. We seem to be getting closer to an agreement being signed. There's movement going on. You know, Rory's been named to this auxiliary committee so he'll have a voice in it, even though he's not on the committee. You know, there's a lot. I wish we would have you know how they have those little cameras on eagles, on mama eagles? You know, eggs are getting ready to hatch. I think we need to get a camera on these negotiations because I think something's ready to hatch.
Yeah, I hope you're right, Rob. It's been, almost a year since the, quote, framework agreement, unquote, was reached. Because I remember it happened the week of the AmFam Championship because I remember talking to some of the players at AmFam about what they thought about it. We're almost a year of these ongoing negotiations, whatever's happening behind the scenes. Wanted to just say one other thing about what I remember about 2014, Rob, and the PGA at Valhalla was Ryan Hillman and missed the cut by one shot. And I thought he'd be, he'd be pleased that he came so close, and he was steamed. He really wanted to make the cut in a PGA championship. He had a couple close calls, and I think if I remember, that was the closest. Our good friend Ryan nearly made the cut at Valhalla.
Well, it'll be fun to watch. Gary, you enjoy yourself down there. But I think we're kind of in this mode now where we can go to one event, but there's about five others that are sneaking up behind us. The U.S. Women's Open is going on, will be going on at the end of the month. And we had a good handful of Wisconsin golfers and then some try to qualify down in Northern Illinois. In fact, as we record the podcast here on a Monday night, play is still going on. They had a weather delay. It does not look like anybody from Wisconsin will advance. Right now, Keeley Marks the low golfer in the clubhouse with 69-72. She leads by one over Caroline Smith of Inverness, Illinois. Keely Marks is from Melbourne, Australia. The top Wisconsin golfer, actually two of them tied at five over. Mackenzie Hahn, the former Badger from Northern Illinois, 73-74. She's T11, as is Brookfield East rising junior, or actually she's a junior this year, Peyton Haugen. She shot 72 in the morning. She's four over in the afternoon, and she's five over. Pretty good stuff for a kid that age, Gary. I think those are the two that, you know, would come closest to, you know, trying to get to the U.S. Women's Open in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. A couple other notables. Izzy Stricker withdrew early in the morning round, got off to a tough start, and then just kind of called it quits. And Bobby Stricker, she finishes T21, 76-74. McKenna Nelson, the drive, chip, and putt national champ in her age group, 78-75. Cassie Pasuik got a greenfield play with former U.S. Women's Amateur champ Jensen Castle, and Cassie shot 79-80. A.J. Powell, fresh off the NCAA Division II regionals for UW Parkside. She's from Appleton, 81-89. So a little bit of struggle down there at Briarwood Country Club in Deerfield, and it looks like a score right around par is going to make it, which is, I guess, pretty fitting when you're qualifying for a USGA championship.
Yeah, I'm sure they set up Briarwood, as they do with all U.S. Open qualifiers for men and women, to be pretty tough. So anything around even par to a couple under usually is puts you right in the mix in those qualifiers.
And then up at Troy Byrne Golf Club in Hudson, a U.S. Open local qualifier administered by the Minnesota Golf Association today, and a bevy of Wisconsin golfers up there as well. One of them got through, Keegan Drugan out of Holman, club pro at Drugan's Castle Mound in Holman, advanced in a playoff over Kirk White of Blaine, Minnesota. Both of those golfers shot 70. An amateur from Edina named Jack Wetzel was the medalist with a 68. A couple of the people from Wisconsin came close. Hunter Newman out of Warrens, Wisconsin. He's a golfer at UW-Stout. He shot 74. Spencer Lynch, who's a golfer at UW-Eau Claire. Spencer's from Neenah, shot 76, as did Andrew Bauer from Chippewa Falls, former WSGA junior champion. He shot 76 as well. I think there were like a dozen, maybe more golfers from Wisconsin playing at Troy Byrne. Sometimes you sign up for the qualifiers, Gary, on those courses that you would play, you would go out of your way to play anyway. So a very good Wisconsin contingent in Illinois for the Women's Open qualifier and Troy Byrne for the Men's Open local, which this year 18 holes feeding into the sectional.
Well, yeah, you're right about these qualifiers being played on great golf courses. I love Troy Byrne. I've only played it once, Rob, but I still remember a lot of the holes, and I played it about 10 or 12 years ago. So it's a really great golf course, and I'm sure a lot of the guys in the western part of the state love playing there.
So we'll continue to monitor the U.S. Open local qualifying around the country. I ran into a U.S. Open local qualifier on Sunday, Gary, when I was playing with the Bermuda Dunes Country Club in Palm Springs with a friend of mine from Wisconsin, and actually a couple friends of mine from Wisconsin, Mark Scheibach, who now lives at Bermuda Dunes. He was a former club pro, and he's now the CEO of a nonprofit in the Coachella Valley. He was hosing off his cart when we made the turn and found out that his mother passed away on Mother's Day. She had been ill for quite some time. So our condolences to the Scheibach family. And, you know, Mark, of course, you wouldn't be surprised if this, Gary, was wearing a Badger T-shirt, too. So once a Badger, always a Badger, our good friend from Fond du Lac.
Mark, he's working at a place he's not in golf anymore, right? Am I correct in assuming that it's like a racetrack or something that he works at?
Well, he was at the racetrack course outside the valley, but when his mom took ill, then he got out of the hospitality business where you kind of have to be on call 24/7. And he is now CEO of the Desert Cancer Foundation in the desert. And it's a group that raises money for cancer research and awareness, and you know, We've known Mark since, as he pointed out to me, since he was 12. He's not that much younger than I am, but and the fact that he'll be in the U.S. Senior Open qualifying here in a couple of weeks vouches for that. But he's one of the most engaging guys that we come across, and I'm sure he's doing a great job with the Desert Cancer Foundation. And it's just it's a neat culture out there in the Coachella Valley, and there's a lot of great causes and a lot of people that come and go from the valley. And so I'm sure he. From his, he was at the Thermal Club, was the club that he was at before taking this job, and that was the golf course racetrack facility out there in Thermal, California. And I saw Mark when he was the chief operating officer over at the Quarry at La Quinta, which was a golf course that was completely sodded out there in the desert. I when he said that,
wow.
I went away. And before that, he was also spent 4 years at Avondale Golf Club out there. So he spent most of his life out there in Palm Springs, and it's not a bad place to spend a life, Gary, because as we know, like Bo Ryan has wound up there in the winter months, and a lot of people, that's where the stars settled, and Bermuda Dunes, we used to be on the Bob Hope rotation, and those greens were firm and fast yesterday. They just hosted the U.S. Open local last week. Mark shot 72, and Patrick Stolpe out of Oostburg shot 74. Neither one got through, and it's a fun area out there.
Yeah, I think I saw Mark last. I think he qualified for the U.S. Mid-Am at Erin Hills and Blue Mound. Right. And I saw Mark out there. Same old Mark Scheibach, just a great guy. He's always been a lot of fun to be around.
Part of Big Ten championship teams for Dennis Tiziani at the University
right.
of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a really good thing there. And speaking of Badger Golf, I think Mark could be PO'd if we spend too much time talking about him and don't mention that the fact that down at West Lafayette, Indiana, here on Monday, Cameron Huss, a 6-under par 66, he has a one-shot lead over Vanderbilt's Gordon Sargent, two ahead of Johnny Walker of Arizona and Cole Sherwood of Vanderbilt. And in the first round of the NCAA Division I West Lafayette Regional, we knew that Cameron Huss, he graduated last weekend. He doesn't have the weight of school on his shoulders, and he comes out and puts up a low one. Is it the top one or the top two individuals that go on, Gary? I think it might only be one beyond the teams that go to qualify for the NCAA. So I'm not saying he's in position. Well, he's in position, but there's still two rounds to go in this regional. But pretty cool to see Cameron Huss atop that leaderboard.
Yeah, that is so awesome. I got to follow him for nine holes at U.S. Open qualifying last week, and it looked like his game was on. He didn't get through, but he played well, Rob. And I see that looking at the individuals, I guess the next best scorer after Cameron was Baron Bosa from Toledo, shot a 72. So right now he's got a 6-shot lead going into the second round. At least for that one spot from individuals who get to advance, not on teams.
I'm guessing the other guy to look at there in that leaderboard is Albert Bonita of New Mexico at 71. New Mexico currently in fifth. And then Herman Weeby Sankey of Purdue is among golfers at T8. He's the guy who's shot the 59 at Sand Valley. And Purdue is in third place, so they would go on if I think it's top four, maybe top five teams go on to nationals out of each regional. So it'll be fun to watch Cameron continue to toil in West Lafayette. And meanwhile, out in Stanford, California, yesterday I checked to see who Illinois entered in the NCAA regional, and I did not see Pearson Hunt's picture. Today it was there, and they added a six, or they moved another kid down to the number six spot, and it was a kind of a, I guess, a catch 22, Gary. I mean, in my opinion, Pearson Hunt played pretty well. He shot a 3-over par 73. He had 4 birdies on his round, 6 bogeys. Unfortunately, the 6 bogeys, when I last counted, equaled the number the rest of the team that played today had out there, and that's how well Illinois played. 17-under par, 263. I think they had something crazy like 20 birdies on the front nine among their scoring golfers, and they are currently 4 shots clear of Florida State. Jackson Buchanan, Max Herendon, Ryan Voice, and Tyler Gokey are Max Herendon is leading with 63, and then Buchanan and Gokey are T2 with 65s. Some crazy low scores at the Stanford Golf Course out there in Stanford, California.
Wow. Yeah, that is some – yeah, I looked at the scores earlier and saw all that red across the Illinois team, the players for their lineup, and crazy low scores. Is this a turn – Rob, at the NCAA, you can sub in and out guys, right? Or is that not allowed? It wasn't allowed a couple of years ago, but now it is, I think.
It is, and that's why all of them bring that that extra golfer in for Illinois.
Yeah.
Ethan Wilson. And he was the guy whose mug was up on top, and then somehow they finally located Pearson's mug, and he got placed at number 5. Right now, Pearson's in the pairings for the second round. Tomorrow, he will be the first one off for the Illini at 8:30 a.m. As Illinois, Florida State, and Stanford play as a group and for the first 5 pairings. But, again, Pearson's worked hard at it. And he's got the experience, and typically you get good stuff out of your seniors, at this point in their career because they've got bigger and better stuff. We mentioned last week, or actually it was today in Sweet Spot. He'll be doing the PGA Tour Americas qualifying here coming up in a few weeks, the one in Canada. We've got about a dozen guys that are going to be trying to do that. So, there's a lot to play for Pearson Hunt, and if he can get rid of those it sounds simple to get rid of those bogeys, but I'm optimistic because I saw more red on his card today for birdies than I've seen in probably a number of starts here this spring for him. I think he's starting to get into that scoring mode again.
Yeah, I'm optimistic because we've seen what he can do and what he's done in the past, Rob. And when he won the State Am a few years ago, I mean, he was a man on a mission. And, Pearson Hunt, when he's got his game, when he's firing all cylinders, is as good as anybody that's come out of the state in recent years. He hasn't been that at Illinois this year, but I have no doubt at all that he's going to be a major player as we go forward here, Robin. We're watching these young guys try to make it on tour. We're going to see a lot of Pearson to start with, probably on the developmental tours, but I see big things for a lot of these guys. I think we talked about this last week, Rob. We're at a better position now with young players, men and women, coming up and coming through than we've been in for a long time, I think.
Well, and to see so many, especially the number of Stout and Eau Claire golfers at the U.S. Open local today, is a sign of how bad they want it. I mean, that, and that's a message to all junior golfers. I mean, you can play in your backyard stuff, but, you need to consider – testing yourself in uncomfortable situations at a U.S. Am qualifier. In your world, it might be a State Am qualifier. It might be a State Open qualifier. On the women's side, there are no qualifiers for those. Direct entry to those championships in the state, and I'm seeing a lot more of them sign up already for the Wisconsin State Women's Open, Wisconsin State Women's Amateur, even the match play. And that's a sign that, they're going after it a little bit here, Gary, and I think that's pretty encouraging. And we should also give a couple of shout-outs. Ethan Wilkins, a transfer from Illinois Wesleyan. He's a native of Sussex, played his high school golf at Lake Country Lutheran. He helped Henderson State, a Division II school in Arkansas, get through their regional. He'll be on to the national championship. He joined Illinois Wesleyan at the D3 Nationals the last couple of years before transferring. And UW-Superior, which won the UMAC last fall, they will be in the NCAA Division III championships, which start tomorrow in Boulder City, Nevada. So a couple of things to look at there. Gary, I wanted to touch on a couple things that were in Sweet Spot today. We were both pretty excited by what we saw on our feeds last week. Wanaki Golf Course in Menominee Falls, which, was on the verge of becoming, housing a few years ago as Waukesha County was looking to, pair off one of its three courses. It was bought, and now it is going to have a expanded indoor presence for the winter months, with including 6 state-of-the-art full swing simulator bays, high top tables, couch seating, 14 flat top TVs or flat screen TVs. It is already a, we've talked about it, a bar restaurant type of facility that's been, you know, renovated aside from all the golf, that's become quite popular, but now they're in it to win it. I think in the winter months, that's as ambitious an indoor project as I've seen around the state for a public facility. Gary, I've lost your audio here.
Uh-oh.
There you go.
Can't hear?
Now I got you.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. They've done a, the Storm family's done a great job with that facility. And Dee Dee and I went for a fish fry there, met some friends about a month ago, and the place on a Friday night was absolutely packed. You have to have a reservation if you're going to eat a fish fry there, Rob. They have, yeah, they've done a great job, both with the golf course and with the clubhouse, and now adding this indoor facility is just going to be wonderful for golfers in that area.
And I actually watched part of the online the Menominee Falls Village Board meeting about that, you know, just to see. Yeah, I'm always interested to know whether there's any, you know, kind of, you know,
just blowback or
might compromise what they're trying to do there. It passed unanimously. There wasn't one word said. I think there was a letter of support in the documents, but you know, a couple people, you know, spoke out on the board and just said, you know, what a great, you know, cornerstone the Wanaki Golf Course has become for that area. You know, I know in high school golf, they're the home course to both Brookfield Central and Menominee Falls. So, it, you know, it crosses the city boundaries, and it just hosted, I think, the Waukesha County Championship. And, you know, there's a lot of great golf being played by a lot of people of all ages, and kind of cool that we still have Wanaki, you know, now not part of the county rotation, but you still have Nagawaki, which is, and, you know, I was talking to someone the other day. They said that there might be a course that might be considering a reduction from 18 to 9. And I said, one of the unsung things going on is not our loss of golf courses, but golf holes. A lot of, you know, facilities that were 45, 36 holes are reducing to 18, 18 to 9. You know, some 18s are just becoming housing. It's we're in a very precarious time right now in golf course development in Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely, Robin. You know, I'm working on a story now about the St. Louis Twin Lakes Country Club down in Kenosha County, where I was a member for several years. And, you know, if the Cantwell family, which has owned that course for 42 years, hadn't been able to find a buyer, that would have become developed too. Thankfully, a buyer stepped forward. I have not met the buyer yet, but I'm looking forward to doing a story on, it's a married couple apparently, and, are going to buy the golf course and keep it a golf course. It's been a golf course since 1921, I think it opened, and it would have been a shame to see that go to development. So thankfully, courses like that that have a great history, we're going to keep them around for another 100 years, we hope.
And in our final seconds of Talking Doc Golf this week, the Ridges Golf Course in Wisconsin Rapids is going to light up number 10, 11, and 18 for night golf, possibly starting as early as June. So keep an eye out for that. Gary, appreciate the time this week. We'll talk golf again next week.
Thank you, Rob.
For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking Doc Golf, sponsored by the American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. We'll talk golf again next week.